Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, March 26, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Interactive Punks with Tau and Rebel DeFi. Let's take a listen.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Oh, man. I was dying there.
What's going on?
I was dying.
Why?
I was in a safe space. And did you listen to the one where the woman came on to try and schedule a hex?
No.
Meeting between Sefi. She's basically an actress or something, and she comes on and she's very good. Like, she's like a total troll, but like Sefi's like actually engaging with her. And she was back on today, and it was all about crypto security. And she came on and she was like about how she got it. It was a real funny story she's weaving, and she starts crying on the thing and how she's lost all her money. And Sefi's like talking to her, and I'm like, Sefi, no, it's the womb. It's the same woman. Just cut her off. Like, we're having a really good conversation and she's just coming. And she's so good. You know, sometimes they come on and they start singing or swearing and just, she's not like that. She comes on and sort of starts as if she's talking and has these big long pauses in her stories. And it just trolling, really good trolling, but it's like painful when you've been in the middle of an amazing space.
Right. Okay.
Oh, man. So, and then I just saw your invite come through and I thought, fucking, that's perfect timing. Excuse my language.
Okay.
I had to get out of that. So I was tweeting Sefi, I was DMing, and I was like, man, get her off, cut her off.
Okay. Gotcha. That's funny. That is very funny.
She comes on with a different Twitter.
Go on.
Sorry, she comes on like the last time she was on. I mean, maybe it's just a woman with a very similar, maybe it's not the same woman, but it was a different Twitter account to the last time.
So
which is quite smart. Again, don't keep coming on with the same account.
Right. Yeah, for sure. That's funny. That's super funny, though. I have yet to come across a proper troll, you know? So I think I've been fortunate that way, or maybe I'm just not, you know, good enough for trolls. Both ways, I'm okay with it, though.
Yeah, well, listen, I tell you, it literally could be us two and Finn on this one, because, like, Steffi's on just now, so that kind of happened.
I totally get it. It's fine. I'm not mad about it. Oh, I think Donku's doing something, too, at this hour.
No, he's on the Sefi one. So it's him.
Oh, he's on the Sefi one? Okay.
Hutch was on it. Pete from Terabytes, he was talking about all this real good, like, stuff about, like, wallet security and... So yeah, it was a good one. Did you schedule this an hour earlier, or is maybe my clock's changed? I'm not sure, because normally for me we do this at 6 p.m but it's 5 p.m today.
Okay, all right. So I thought we were gonna do it at this hour. Okay, it's just a miscommunication then. I thought we were doing this hour. Okay. But does it work for you, though?
Oh yeah, listen, yeah it's fine, completely fine, but I just wasn't sure if it was, because I don't even know if the clocks changed last night. I think they maybe did. I'm just going to Google.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, no, I did schedule it like purposely for this hour, but I think it might be just 1 hour earlier than when we did went last time. So, yeah, it's okay. Well, it's being recorded anyway, so people can circle
clocks
back.
Changed tonight, so I think. So basically, this hour is good. This hour is better. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, all for the better then.
But yeah, this time is good because I think there might be a delay here because we seem to be talking over each other. Yeah, this time is good because my clocks are going to change. So this is going to become the time that it used to be in my time. So yeah.
Okay.
So this cool. time is
that
good.
That works for me. Yeah, this is fine for me too. That's good. So what have you been up to this week? What's been the deal?
I've just been we've been organizing a lot of stuff for TerraDAP Expo. That is coming together. There's some like big name sponsors come in. Hashed came in as a sort of major sponsor.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen the tweets going around on that account, but I mean there's like about 30 odd projects now confirmed and counting, still getting new ones coming in. So I mean I think we're gonna get at least up to 50. Is kind of where I'm.
Wow.
And it's literally going to be epic. And then I've been speaking, I mean, I didn't really know the T5 Alpha guys, but speaking more with them and seeing like the production that of some of the, we've got like an NFT museum that's going to be sponsored by One Planet. Right. And like, I was thinking it's going to have these nice TV screens or monitors or whatever, and we can see some sort of rolling NFT footage.
Right.
It's going to be like a total like art installation. There might be like projections of 3D things. And just, so it's not going to be standard monitors. It's going to be like stuff appearing on the wall and projections and various stuff. And there might even be like a printing of like clothing of NFTs.
You're saying the One Planet dudes are doing this?
I mean, they're sponsoring it. And then there's like a production team that are actually putting it together.
Gotcha.
And obviously involved with One Planet, but a lot of the NFT projects launching on One Planet, I think, are going to be shown. Punks are going to be in there or have some sort of presence there. I hope anyway. So, I mean, punks are on board, which is, I think, awesome. They're discussing that in the marketing nebula at the moment. Like, what exactly do we want to do?
Well, will you be there representing the punks as well, or are you going to try and show up? From Orbital Command.
I mean, I'll be part of the Orbital Command there, but I'm obviously a punk as well, so I'll be. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'll be officially be representing punks, but I suppose we are a DAO, so why not? But no, I mean, I'll probably have my Orbital Command hat on, but anything I can do to sort of promote the punks, I will be.
Yeah,
be doing that. I put in my application for that nebula.
That's one of the things I wanted to ask you a lot of questions about, you know. I haven't gotten around to reading the application or anything, but do you have like a little 2-minute summary of it? Let's say the platform that you're running on. I don't really know how to word it, you know.
Yeah, I must admit I don't know if it's necessary. I think I've got a bit of experience in the field. The fact that I'm working for Orbital Command now as well kind of gets me in touch with a lot of different projects. And just, I'm kind of, I would say, relatively or reasonably well connected at the moment through being connected with some people who are well connected. And that might lead to sort of access to seed fund investments for the DAO. Which I think is a positive. I mean, I suppose it doesn't necessarily mean I need to be on the council to bring that stuff to the punks. There's been a few people encouraging me to run for it, so I thought if I've got support,
it makes sense to me, my friend.
Then why not?
Totally makes sense to me if you run for it, yeah. Because like you said, I'm totally agreeing with you because you're kind of in a good place to bring good limelight to the punk community.
Yeah, I think certainly part of the punk and active player in the or active member of the punk community. I mean, I want to encourage sort of, I would say, maybe more conservative use of the DAO funds. For example, like I wasn't particularly happy about the clamor. I'll use the clamor. When there was that DGen box issue and people were like, oh, we've got to get out of it. I'm kind of glad the Nebula didn't have the power to make a quick decision on one hand, because mm-hmm. I think we might have rushed into coming out of it. Now, I'm not saying it was a brilliant investment, but my point is basically that if the DAO votes to go into something, then we shouldn't turn that over just because we get worried. What's more important, I think, is like either thoroughly mm-hmm. do your own research and decide to go in for a kind of risky venture, or have not necessarily a policy, but just don't go in for these risky things in the first place. And I don't think I really wanted to go into the DGen box. Although saying that, I did vote for it. But
I totally understand. Because you're very much a purist at heart when it comes to the way you interact with DeFi. I get it. But like, I'm very much kind of on the other end of it from you, because I'm all about that. Like, if there is the dollar to be made, I'll make that dollar, because I think I've told you this before, right? Where I was about it, that all right, we should kind of like, you know, have the common sense of not going into these Deegan box strategies, because inevitably it's just it's a net negative for our own ecosystem. Therefore, like, we should just be our own good actors, right? But then when that whole yield reserve got renewed, I was like, okay, well, if we're lowering the standards and we're using this as more of a publicity thing, right? Then might as well go into all the Deegan boxes that you want to get into, because then that makes sense to me.
I'm not necessarily fully opposed. If people vote to go into a DGen box type strategy, I will vote for that 100% as a representative.
Right.
What bothered me more than going into it was potentially a rushed decision to come out of it. I think if we go in, right, we go in and ride it. And if mm-hmm. it goes to zero, then it goes to zero. What I don't like is rushed decision. I mean, personally, with my own portfolio, that's when I make mistakes, when I make an emotional decision to buy or sell at the wrong time. It usually turns out to, like, with the benefit of hindsight, it turns out to be the wrong decision. So had we jumped out of DGen box at that time, knowing what we know now, it would have been the wrong decision.
Right. Hey, Arst and Gary, feel free to come up if you guys want to have a conversation. This is the intent is for everybody to have a conversation in these places. It's not like me talking at one or two people. So, Rebel, the thing is, like, is this gonna, like, are we talking about then when we make proposals in the Financial Nebula that we're putting like stop loss parameters in for future references? Is that kind of where we can end up going then from here?
I'll be honest, I don't know. I mean, personally, I think there's enough quality blue chip investments on Terra that we don't need to do anything that doesn't feel good. I mean, that's right, the way I think about these investments. So I put down a few examples of things we can do, and it's nothing particularly original, but
right,
it's pretty safe, and the returns, I think, are decent. You've got the B Luna Luna ARB. That is literally essentially risk-free. You've got, and we've got a ton of Prism that's amping, but we have no Y Luna, as far as I'm aware, in the Prism farm. So we just refract a bunch of Luna, keep the P Luna, and put the Y Luna in the farm. Again, we're not losing any Luna at all. We're just going to be getting more and more Prism. And with the amount of Luna and Prism that we've got, that is going to be a substantial return. There's the ST Luna LP on Astroport. which currently is over 20% APY, APR even.
Yeah.
Building up some Astro. Sorry, come on in.
What do you think about, like, is there a pair that already exists between like the Luna X and Stake Luna? Because then you're basically compounding your base returns on both sides while providing liquidity position. So you're collecting fees as well.
As far as I'm aware, there's not.
Yeah. There isn't, right?
Yeah. I mean, that would be ideal. Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, I was speaking to a representative from Retrograde recently, and he was explaining to me the bit about how their protocol works. And I mean, to be honest, I still don't get it fully. But owning Astro tokens is going to be, I mean, have you seen the price of Astro recently? It's just going up and up and up.
Yes.
And I think that's because people are beginning to read about Retrograde and see what it's offering. And having Astro to use on Retrograde is going to offer some good returns. So again, just if we're in that ST Luna, Luna LP, earning Astro, the ST Luna is gaining in value. Again, there's no impermanent loss on that LP.
Right.
And that's just good. It's just good for the ecosystem. Having a lot of Astro supporting that project. And then if, I don't know how quickly we can get this vote through, but like we could lock some UST up in the Kinetic Nucleus log drop. Again, supporting another project, but then also supercharging the DAO's UST by sort of depositing it in there for a UST loan, which we could then do something with, maybe buy some more punks or whatever. Sweep that floor. No,
speaking of Kinetic though, I was thinking of putting, like, it's kind of just in my own head right now, but I think what would be really cool is we put a majority of the UST that belongs to the DAO, put it into Kinetic money, and then whatever is available as a loan to us is all the play money we get. That way we're still more or less risk off in our in our underlying position, which is like whatever quarter mil of UST that we have. But then that gives us like 700,000 almost in play money, essentially, right?
Degen,
that's a
money.
Lot of money. Yeah, exactly. It's basically degeneracy money for sure, right? But then that allows our financial nebula to then go on and say, oh, we can take on a higher risk position because the underlying principal money is not at risk, right? That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. Or just go fully conservative. I mean, fully conservative and steal some more yield from Anchor with it. But yeah, I'm not against doing sort of degen moves. I just think that we don't, as long as we don't panic, if we essentially say that a degen play could potentially go to zero and we'll just accept it, that's fair enough. But I, like you say, I don't think we should be using sort of our capital for that. So if it is loaned money, then that could be a lot of fun.
Right.
I'm not against buying more punks. Buy more punks, that's the other stake thing more too. Punks.
I don't understand why. Well, I joined the governance for Galactic Punks way later than you, but I don't understand why you guys didn't like put a lot of the UST into the Prism pools. Into mine pools at Pylon money for those ones. Like, could have been collecting like really good whale tokens and stuff like that along the way, right?
That's interesting you say that, because I'd agree with that. There was did you listen in to the latest Punk EMA when they were talking about staking?
No, that's literally on my queue as the next thing to listen to.
Because perhaps I misheard, but I thought they mentioned something about Pylon pools. And I was like, oh, I had no idea that we were in any Pylon pools. So it would be interesting I'm going to bring that up and find out, like, are we actually in any Pylon pools?
Right. Because that makes sense when you're coming from a DAO point of view, right? Because DAOs, just with their treasuries, naturally are a whole lot less risk takers than your average trader, right? And Pylon pools are really good for that. It's actually one of the things that attracted me to the Terra ecosystem was Pylon, actually. Like, this is weird. Everybody goes down the route of, Anchor, right? For the 20% on stablecoins. Everybody goes down that route to then enter into the greater ecosystem of Terra. For me, it was Pylon. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing with Pylon. I was like, this is radical. I want to do this. And then that was the pill that I took into the rest of the Terra ecosystem.
And what pools were you attracted to on Pylon?
Well, first of all, like, I started with the Terra money pool itself because it just made sense that, like, the way they're using it with the 1% or 2% of the interest that those pools earn go back into, like, buying the mine token. So I went into that one. I went into Whale token. I went into a handful of other ones too. I didn't go into Loop. I went into what is it called? The publicity to earn one, VKT or something? Valkyrie, that's the one.
Valkyrie, VKR.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. I thought it was going to be a whole lot different than what it turned out to be. But that was just like a mismatch of my expectations.
I'll be honest, I still don't understand what Valkyrie is about or how it actually works. I have mixed feelings about Loop. I mean, as far as that pool went, it didn't perform very well for me. Mm-hmm. But one thing I think Loop are doing, I don't use the Loop DEX. The Loop community forums, I think, could be really good. I think there's far too much spam the last time I went and looked on it. But there's a thing. Have you seen the Loop Learn or learn.loop.markets? No. They've produced these amazing videos for, like, beginners, like, really high quality, like, learning resource. So I've been really impressed with that. So I think there's something to the Loop project, and maybe it's because they're, I don't want to say rushing, but they want to have stuff out.
Their development has been pretty good. Like, I know they're working, I don't know what the state of this is, but I know that the talks have happened about making a front end, because White Whale uses VUST as the base pair, not simple UST, right? So they're trying to make a front end where you come to the website as UST, but then it automatically routes you through VUST to get you the Whale token and vice versa, right? And then, like, recently they put out IBC tokens, right? They've got Seeker Network, which is one of my other favorite networks to be here. They've got that going, and then White Whale is doing arbitrage between Secret and all the other tokens. So that's kind of making them a little bit of money too.
You can buy Secret on Loop.
Yeah, you can buy Secret on Loop, and then you can keep it in the Terra ecosystem if you just want the price exposure.
Wow. Okay.
I think there's two more there. I just can't remember the other two. I think Juno was the other one. Could be wrong. They're working on Atom. I don't think Atom was one of the initial ones. Osmosis is one of them for sure, I think.
Yeah, sure, you'd imagine so.
Right, yeah. So, like, they're doing good. They're developing at a good pace. Like, actually, a really good pace. So, but it's one of those forums I don't follow. Like, the governance forums, it's one of those ones I just don't follow for some reason.
Yeah, me neither.
Right. But we'll go with yours first. What's going on?
I think we're going to ask the same question. I think, like, you go for it and I'll tell you if it's the same one.
I was going to go with the Bitcoin reserve pool.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, man, start. I've been talking a lot, so sure.
All right. Well, it was Edwin or Active Variable. He goes by both names, I guess, now. But he brought it to my attention because he wanted to. I think he's making a video on it. So he was like, "Can you summarize this for me?" I was like, "Happily." But I wasn't tracking this until now, and it's a hell of a proposal. First of all, like, it's very thorough, very very thorough and well put together. And actually, it was like I read through the proposal and I'm thinking this. I'm like, "Damn, this is, like, really well put together." And then the first comment I read is like, that, it says exactly that. It's like, yo, dude, good job putting it together, a really thorough proposal. It's like, damn, all right. But it, so in summary, it's to put into a function to use the BTC that we're about to go on a purchasing spree of, right? How do we actually integrate it on a mechanism level into backing the Luna peg or the Terra peg, right? So, and I like it personally. I like it a lot because it doesn't reinvent the wheel. And I love proposals that don't reinvent the wheel when there is no need to. So this one, like, imagine it works 90% the same as the way Luna UST works in terms of keeping the peg and keeping the supply dynamic there, right? But the difference is, if you're going from UST to Bitcoin, right? So if, like, if you're arbitraging the sell side of this, so you're buying cheap UST below peg, then what happens is you will get a 2% disc, or you will get, be charged 2% surplus. So it's only favorable if UST is trading 2 cents below the peg for you to make this arbitrage. Otherwise, it's only favorable to make the arbitrage using Luna, right? The normal range that UST is in, like, for 99.9% of its life, is definitely above the two cent window, right? So it doesn't compete with Luna on the day-to-day basis, but as soon as UST becomes like the value of earn 98 cents, right, for one UST, then people can start redeeming UST for Bitcoin, which is the intent of the Bitcoin reserve, right, is to keep the peg, not to like keep the reserve of like your day-to-day Luna to UST transfers, right? So it's not a stabilizing mechanism, it's a depegging risk mechanism, right? But then on the other turnaround, if you're going the other way where you have Bitcoin, you can trade your $1 worth of Bitcoin for $1 worth of UST. So once the depeg scenario is over, you can convert right back into UST at a one-to-one pace, which is the same as a one-to-one pace for Luna. So when so it comes to the
2%.
Right. So in an ideal world, like, this has to be battle tested, obviously, right? But the way the math works out is that the pool will give UST, or will take UST in and give out Bitcoin at a 2% discount. And anything beyond that is the profit of the person who's taking back or taking UST back to the peg, right? So, but the pool doesn't burn UST like the way the Luna UST pool burns it, right? What it does is it just stores it. So like, you take BTC out, you put UST in, right? It's not a burn mechanism at any point. So what happens the other way around is, let's say the peg has been restored after like a minute of this depegging issue and all the RBOTs are done, then Bitcoin, $1 worth of Bitcoin can redeem $1 worth of UST, or one UST actually, right? So now the reserve is selling the same UST that it got at 2% discount. It's selling that UST back at peg price for Bitcoin. So essentially, if UST gets depegged and then restored right back to where it was, and then the slowly when the reserve gets restored with Bitcoin back to where it was, there should be 2% more Bitcoin in the reserve than that was taken out during the depeg scenario. Does that make sense?
So just we'll keep building that reserve.
And then in terms of like the back end of it, right, it's literally they intend to fork the AMM model that's set up for Luna UST when you go to burn UST to get Luna and vice versa. They're going to fork the same thing, just add the new parameters where it's a 2% discount during a peg scenario or a depegging scenario.
Which forum is that on?
It's on the Terra, the Agora forums, on the main ones for Terra.
Right. Yeah.
So that one was really cool. And I, like I said, I like it because it's using the same mechanisms we already have put into place, just changing the variables up a little bit. So it functions the same way, just like slightly different variables. One of the security risks was highlighted in the conversations later down was that like it's opening us up to Oracle prices, because we can't have a native Bitcoin price on Terra. It has to come through one of the other places, right? So the Bitcoin reserve is going to have an attack vector open through Oracle prices, which is like, which is, there isn't really another way around just right now, the way things are set up, if that makes sense, right?
I just saw Dan coming up.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how are you, friend?
Hey, been pretty good, man. Just tuning in, listening to this BTC reserve conversation. I've read through the proposal a few times, but still not 100% sure. I totally understand it, but that explanation you just gave was pretty spot on.
Right. Yeah. So what's your take on it? How do you feel? Like, do you feel like that 2% is where it needs to be, or does it need to be more or less for when the BTC kicks in?
I mean, I guess my initial thought is, as long as there is a discount of anything, it's going to help bring the peg back. The real question in my mind is there enough liquidity in there for it to not get fully drained during like a crisis?
Right. Well, So if usually, so if, right, and you're right, and I don't know how we can, like, in a very simple way, say that it is or it isn't enough liquidity in there. At USD market cap of 16 billion, if we're to put like 3 billion of Bitcoin in there, which is kind of the current intent, then that ought to be enough, because that's 3 billion is a lot of money to just take out of circulation immediately, right? Even at 16 billion. So, but then 10 billion, I don't know how much market cap 10 billion can support. And how do you even go to make a model to like give you like a band of, hey, this is the upper, this is the lower risk band, right?
Yeah. And then also, I guess, is it even needed? Like, if something can depeg UST, then what's to say it can only depeg it $3 billion worth?
So that would be the issue. That would be because...
Because for that to happen, you need people like... What was that drama like a few months ago? The Polish army or whatever, that Twitter account?
Right.
Where basically a lot of people are saying, hey, let's all do this action at this time. So like,
right.
I don't think there's anything intrinsically that would cause UST to depeg. It would have to be a coordinated attack of people that are actively trying to depeg it, in my opinion.
Okay. So let's say people are actively trying to depeg it, but this depeg shouldn't be lasting more than a couple of minutes at most, right? Because keep in mind, anything, it's profitable at 1 cent, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. Including gas fees and everything. It's profitable for you to do an ARB and get Luna out at 1 cent. That ARB is going to be there for the whole time. The whole point of it being at 98 cents, the 2% below, would be like to catch the spike and convert the spike into UST redemptions and then go right back to Luna redemptions for the normal part, right? So, it would be like a lot of UST moving to like sell, like go from UST back into, let's say, USDT or whatever to crash the peg, right? So the economic, what is it called, tidal wave of money that you'll need to depeg it for an extended period of time, it's quite a lot. That's how I see it.
You'd need probably billions, I would think, that you're willing to take a loss on. So your reward would have to be worth it.
Right. And like that's what I mean by like how do you drive a model, like, right? So if you have $3 billion in reserve, to then like how do you do the numbers where you say in order to depeg UST for 30 minutes, if the reserve is $3 billion, how much money do you need as a sell pressure on UST? Right.
Has anyone talked about like how they came up with the number, like saying, hey, we feel like this is a safe number for it because of these potential kind of threats? Or is the whole idea is just like BTC is good, Moon is good, let's just get a whole bunch of it so there's absolutely no question. And if BTC moons, it's even better for us.
Okay, so there was like a whole section in the proposal about outflow parameters, and they had a table set there, and I could not make a sense of it, because in that table it was indicating like at a certain percentage deviation from the peg, you could sustain a depegging for this long, and you would only need to sell so many millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin to bring it right back onto peg, right? But that was, I'm not going to lie to you, that was way over my head. And so I'm not like, that was beyond me, dude. I was like, all right, I'm tapping out. This requires a whole lot more math and brain power than I can afford.
So this is kind of a side tangent, but this conversation, I've been watching the news a lot lately, and this conversation reminds me about how, remember how like the ruble has been falling or whatever, and right. Russia is saying, hey, the only way you can get oil now, if you're one of these countries, is to buy it using the ruble. I almost wonder if that's like a kind of a similar strategy that they're doing to this, being like, hey, in order like to get the currency to come back to peg, we have a superior asset that will only sell if you pay for it with this asset.
Well, no, okay. Well, that was kind of like, you. So are you saying UST being the superior asset?
Bitcoin in this case.
Well, but you would be selling Bitcoin at a 2% discount, or you would be buying at a 2% premium, I guess, is the term.
But only if it's paid for with UST.
Okay.
Someone can't go do like, they can't buy that discounted Bitcoin using another currency, right? They can only do it with UST, because the goal is to sell this asset at a discount to drive demand for the only thing that can be used to purchase the asset, which is UST.
No, it'd be the other way around. So the deep, are you saying like the DPEG will like increase buy power for Bitcoin? Because it'd be the other way around. It would be increasing sell pressure for Bitcoin if UST depegs.
Well, I'm saying like, if someone wanted Bitcoin, right? They could buy it on the open market at a dollar.
Right.
Or they could buy a 98 cents worth of UST, saving 2%, and get that same amount of Bitcoin using this discounted opportunity. So it drives the demand for UST, right?
Oh, you're saying like if the open market is running short of Bitcoin supply.
Yeah, well, even if they're not short, the cheaper place to get Bitcoin is to get it from this Bitcoin reserve pool by buying UST.
No, because if you buy UST, you're getting 2% less Bitcoin than you were to get it off the open market, right?
So I thought I heard you say that you were getting a 2% discount on Bitcoin by buying UST. So like you'd get a dollar's worth of Bitcoin for 98 cents.
No. So when the DPEG happens, you will buy $1 or so, you will buy one UST off of the market, right? Then you take that one UST into the virtual AMM. And the virtual AMM will then give you 98 cents worth of Bitcoin, right?
How much is that UST worth though?
What I'm saying. So in order for you to break even, you need to buy the UST, like one UST needs to trade at 98 cents. Then you make even on your Bitcoin arbitrage. If UST trades at 97 cents, then you will be making 1 cent per dollar that you cycle through this.
Gotcha. I think. So how is it good for UST when it's at 98 to a dollar or even over?
So just below, so just before the threshold of breaking even, you mean?
Yeah, so like if UST is worth 99 cents, say.
Then it's the normal thing where it trades with Luna for the discount. So you will get Luna at 1% discount.
Gotcha. So this is only like when it depegs significantly where the Luna arbitrage isn't bringing it back.
Right. So your day-to-day arbitrage is instead of being like all the way from $1 to 1 cent on UST, right? That window. So your day-to-day arbitrage is good to go in the same aspect where you can arbitrage one UST for $1 worth of Luna in any range of that dollar value for UST. But once UST is trading at 98 cents, then you can break even and then start making profits versus UST and Bitcoin, as well as UST and Luna.
Yeah. Okay.
Oof. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. Thanks for working on that one.
No, that's okay. I thought we were going in a different tangent there for a second too. I was like, I'm not tracking you for a minute there. That's all right. Sorry for the confusion on my end.
I liked what Dan said, though. I mean, like, when BTC moons, Luna moons, we don't need to worry about DPEG and just number go up.
Right. Yeah. I like it. I think this is going to be net positive because it's going to, that sell pressure that we get onto Luna during contraction points of UST, like when the supply gets burned, is that sell pressure now, if it's extreme, gets diverted a little bit to Bitcoin as well, which is, as a bigger market cap, is going to be much easier for it to absorb than just Luna on its own, right?
Yeah, I think. I need to go and read that proposal because I haven't read it yet. So, but I mean, this discussion, I think, will help me with my understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, welcome all the new people. If you want to hop on up and have a say in the conversation, you're welcome to it. So... I don't know. This is what excited me about it, was because it was a very well put together proposal, and the parts I understood it, I liked a lot. And there's some parts I need to learn a lot more about. So,
all right, well, moving on from Bitcoin then. Did you did you stake your punk?
I did indeed, my friend. I read the tweet and it was like
it's
a quarter
nice
way through
it.
My morning, right? And then I rushed home at lunch. I was like, "Fuck it, I'm going home at lunch." And then I staked it, and then I went back to work.
Hey, break that down for me. I missed this whole punk staking thing.
Oh, Rebel, I think this is your wheelhouse, my friend.
I don't know. We've got Manos in here as well. Someone's on the Galactic DAO. Yeah, I think the New Look website is really cool. Like, I love just seeing the punks in their cryogenic chambers. Just the graphics are pretty epic. And I definitely think it's brought a lot of attention on Twitter to the punks, and we've seen it in the floor price, which is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, so, more than half, I've not looked at it today, but like more than half the punks are staked. I think that's crazy. And the APY is going to be so bad. I mean, not bad, but it's going to be so low. It's not, we're not staking punks for like financial gain, really. It's more just like commitment to the project, which...
Well, I think there's...
I mean, maybe... Well, I mean, we'll get some tokens, but like, it's not going to be some crazy yield, I don't think. I mean, it'd be nice to see... Maybe Manos or someone in here can speak to it, but like, I saw there was that thing with the Void tokens, but they don't seem to be on the website yet, so I'm just wondering what's the story with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if
I want to get
1% of all Void tokens or 1% of a percentage of Void tokens.
No, it's 1% of the supply. I'm pretty sure.
1% of the total supply?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. I mean, maybe that deal is not sort of fully gone through, so they can't put it on the site yet. But I think as the DAO grows, we're going to get more of these deals, like projects just coming in saying, yeah, punks have 1%.
Right.
And that just solidifies our reputation as like the blue chip project on Terra.
Yeah. So, Archangel, what's up on your mind, my friend? I just noticed his hand was up. So, oh, there we go. His mic is unmuted. There we go.
Hey guys, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey. Bro.
Hey, yeah, sorry. I'm a little limited on my ability to participate here. I'm out with the fam, but I'm enjoying the conversation. And this is going to sidetrack you from your current topic, but I just was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on or opinions on the whole Anchor Earn dynamic rate governance vote that went through. I know that there was some controversy. You know, I'm a self-acclaimed small brain on everything related to what goes on you know, mechanics wise and voting wise in the backgrounds, I try to, you know, follow the smart people that I identify and just do what they do. But I was noticing that there were people complaining between the anchor proposal and then the one that was put up by Cash, I believe it was. Some claims about the one that Cash put up was better aimed at bringing more value to Anchor, I guess. But yeah, anyways, I was just curious on your guys' thoughts on if you had any.
Yeah. No, I'll take 2 minutes for that for sure. And then we can cycle back into the punks because the Galactic DAO's here. So the way I'm tracking is that the both of them should be able to go through in tandem. And then today I read a tweet that said that they're going to put a floor of 15% on the variable rate and a roof of 20%. So the anchor rate will not be dropping below 15% as the variables are set right now, right? And they can be changed with governance later on. And the way the Cash DeFi proposal, I read this like 2 weeks ago, so forgive me if I'm remembering something wrong. But the way they're introducing it is that they wanted to get the depositors involved more on the token side as well, the ANC token, because currently the ANC token does nothing for the depositors. So that the way that was set up was that it would you would receive some of your yield as ANC, and then if you hold like 5% of your deposit value as ANC, so if you hold $100 in deposit, then you hold $5 worth of ANC, then all of your yield is paid to you in UST, whereas if you hold below the 5% threshold, then you get paid like 3/4 of your yield in UST and 1/4 of your yield in ANC until you reach that 5% limit, then it goes back to 100% in UST. There is no lockup, however, and I don't know if it was a part of this proposal or a different proposal, but there was an idea pushed forward that if you lock up the rewards that you're getting as in ANC, then your base yield can go up as well relative to the rest of the market. So does that kind of sum it up for you there, Ark?
Hey, so question.
Can I get Galactic DAO in here real quick before they had their hand up for a bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. This was kind of tailing on what Ark was talking about, but we can come back to that if you want.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm okay with hopping the conversation back and forth. What's up, Galactic DAO?
Hey, guys, it's Manos. How are you going?
Hey, how are you?
Hey. Good, thank you. I thought I'd just jump in, say hello, and see how you guys are going. I just saw it came up, so I had a little bit of time before dinner arrived. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd pop in and say hello and try and answer any questions you may have or jump in any discussions you may have as well. So
do you know, I actually have a question for you that just came to my mind. Why was it set up that if you withdraw your punk before withdrawing your rewards, that your rewards go defaulted back to the DAO? Instead, like if you withdraw your punk, then your rewards just sit there for you to withdraw a later date.
I don't know the exact reason. It may have something to do with the smart contract, though. But I'm not 100% sure exactly right. what that reason is. That would be something to ask Frank in the dev nebula. He'd be able to answer that for you.
Cool. Because I think I know for sure some of us are going to get bit in the asshole by that, just the way that we function, right? Is kind of randomly click a bunch of things and you're like, all right, that ought to have done it. And then I'm sure of it that some people are going to lose that on rewards they've been accumulating. So like, I don't know, do we have like a little big ass banner on that webpage when you withdraw your punk that
yes.
Withdraw your rewards?
Yes, so it doesn't
do,
at the moment because there's no rewards accrued,
right?
But when they start accruing, mm-hmm. you will get a notice basically saying, like, make sure you've done this before withdrawing it. Otherwise, you will forfeit in testing that happened. So
okay, sweet, solid. That's good then. That's good.
I'm just loving the new website layout. It's font, graphics. Looks really cool.
Yeah,
honestly, got you guys down the bottom as well. I'm just checking you out. Why are you literally the tallest team member? Because you're like Punk seems bigger than everyone else's.
Yeah, I don't know why that was. Maybe it was the image I sent to them was wrong. But a lot of the graphics was done by Karma. But I think like you'll notice, I'm not sure if it's already doing it, but the front like main image is like a planet. Is it moving yet?
Yes. Yeah. That's cool. Discord. It's got the piggy bank. It's got like trees with Luna in them, the magic money trees.
Yeah.
It's got the thing like the, is it not the Pompidou Center, but the thing in Paris, the sort of the Prism Museum. And it's Prism.
That's cool. Yeah. So I think the Louvre of it will be to make it so those are clickable links as well. And then everything will be on the website. Yeah. So once it's done, I think it'll be very good. I can't wait. It's been a long time in the making.
Right.
So is that like kind of like related to colonies or grids?
That's kind of cool.
It may have some references, but it's not specifically related.
One thing, actually, I'm just thinking, it's got links to Random Earth, LuArt, and Messier. And Punks are also available on one planet now. So maybe pass that up the chain that we maybe need a link to one planet on the homepage.
Yeah, I saw they just came up a day or two ago, didn't they?
I had no idea until this morning. I went on their site for the first time and I was like, oh, can sell Punks. Cool.
Yeah, I think Nowhere.
Buy Punks.
I think Nowhere as well has them, so we'll have to do some more updating, but I'll pass that along.
But yeah, it's like, oh, and I love the Lego, DeFi Lego, and showing you what we've got. So cool.
Yeah, so Dan, what was the question you have in your bag there, bud?
Oh, about Punks?
Well, you know, before I cut you off, you said you wanted to circle back on the Anchor side, I think.
Oh, I already kind of transitioned my mind to Punks. I was looking at the graphics on the staking page. I've seen like the little toads in there and everything.
Yeah, it's very cool. I may have to run off now though. I think my dinner has just arrived.
Sorry. But thank you for showing up.
No.
Thanks, Manos. Yep.
I wish I had some more time to chat to you guys about all this stuff, and I love chatting about it, but I'll see you all in the
see you on the Discord.
Soon. Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, man. Cheers. Bye. Hey, yeah, I'm gonna have to bounce in about 5 minutes or so.
You wanna finish up your thing about the Retrograde? Because I got a question for you. How are they set up? How like they wanna be a governance protocol, right? That's how I understand it.
There's no way I can explain Retrograde in 5 minutes. There's no way I can even explain Retrograde full stop, but I'm just absolutely amazed about Retrograde. The first I knew of Retrograde was like a week or two ago. I went into a space, I think it was an Anchor space about Anchor governance, and there was all these Retrograde people in, and I was like, and they were like up there as speakers and stuff, and I was like, what is this? Like, what is Retrograde? Like, so it's obviously something important if they're like the whole team's up there talking in this Anchor governance thing. And then there was the one that Danku co-hosted with Shah from Orbital Command. They were back up there again. I was like, man, I've got to find out what this thing's about. And it's just amazing that like a lot of these projects are like promoting themselves months before there's any project to release. Whereas Retrograde seem to have just been working. And now they're literally about to release. And we're just finally finding out about it. But it's my understanding. I mean, I don't know enough about the like curve and convex stuff on Ethereum, but essentially it's similar to that. Is my understanding.
Do you think we should bring one of their dudes up and just ask them questions right here.
We've got it's Detective Grover is there. I don't know his official position, but he's a sort of marketing guy who's doing a lot of public facing stuff. We've got him coming on the Orbital Command AMA next Wednesday at, it's a bit later than this. I think it's maybe 7 or 8 p.m. UTC. I can't remember. I think 8 p.m. UTC on Wednesday, and he's going to sort of run us through the project. But I mean, they've got a lot of really nice explainers on their website. But I had a look at that. I spoke to him last night, and I'd sort of read it, and I thought, I don't really get this. But he walked me through it, and I was like, okay, I get it. Yeah. So essentially, yeah. I mean, as far as like how it benefits us, if we take an LP and stake through them,
right,
and then they put it onto Astroport, we end up with a better APY than if we just stake directly with Astroport, is kind of my understanding. So it's going to make me money.
So LP as in like the liquidity pool tokens. We're not talking governance deposits.
So Astro tokens themselves, but also my understanding is that LP tokens, maybe like Luna P Luna, and then the rewards that we get, I don't know, it then just gives us all to do with, all this stuff about gauges and curve wars and voting and getting bribed to vote a certain way and stuff. Okay. Potentially some big protocols are going to come in and we're somehow going to get yield from giving them our votes. But I think it's basically going to make money.
I'm tracking what you're saying. I'm tracking what you're saying now. Okay. I like it. I think it, like, if it becomes like the centralized hub of like all the big boy governance protocols, right? Governance for all the big boy protocols, then it's good. It's probably a net positive for the ecosystem because then people don't have to hop around everywhere.
100%. And that's why I think they were on these anchor AMAs, because they're totally all about this governance.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Right. I wonder on the counter side of that, if it's going to lead to like concentration of thought pools, right? Like, so all the retrograde guys are going to be like, maybe like what happens if retrograde is able to push through their point of view across multiple protocols, whereas if it wasn't so centralized, the voting pool, they wouldn't have been able to, right?
But I don't know if it's not necessarily them that's going to hold the voting power. It's the people using the platform.
Okay.
But again, I don't think I can talk on it too intelligently at the moment because I don't really get it myself. But yeah, if you're free on Wednesday a bit later than this, I suppose you'll still be at work.
Maybe
I need to speak to Finn, get him in there to record. Right. But I think it's going to be a good one.
Okay. I'll see if I can make it. I don't know what my work is going to say that day, but we'll see. Yeah. Sure.
Cool. I'll ping you the invite then once we've set it. I'm going to have to bounce, Dowie, but it's been interesting. And Archangel.
Right.
And who else is in? Bones. Bones, am I saying that right? This is what happens when you go up against Sefi. It's just a nice little private conversation.
Right.
I don't know. Could you hear me okay? I thought
your mic was...
But I don't know if that's my internet connection or what.
I don't know. I think there's like a host bug going on where the co-host has a little bit of audio issue listening to other people. I'm not so sure if that's going to get fixed soon or not.
100%. And sorry, Dan's still here as well. Thanks for dropping in, Dan. So I'll maybe see you guys in the Discord if you're about. Yeah, stay in touch. I think Dowie might be staying on, but yeah, I've got to
pop off. This is a good catch place to conclude it.
And Dowie, the good thing is, all right, I was going to say I could leave it without cutting the whole thing off, seeing as you're the host today.
No, I feel like we're in a good place. I think we covered a lot of good things.
All right, cool.
Explained a lot of cool stuff, I think this is a good place to conclude it for sure.
All right, later, thanks guys. For your BTC update. That was cool. All right, guys. Good night. Bye.
Okay. Later, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Interactive Punks, hosted by Tal and Rebel DeFi, recorded on Saturday, March 26th, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handing reports in. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big drip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hid the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2.
Terra Spaces.